He is Adam Stanley, and he's going to join us right now to talk all things golf. Adam, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Where's my? Are we chatting about sandwiches or candy or anything like that? Or
yeah. So we had the sandwich champion crowned today. The final somewhat anticlimactic, as it was two of the very, you know, kind of a similar sandwich. We had the BLT against the clubhouse, with the clubhouse winning handily. So the clubhouse has been ruled our sandwich king. And it's important to note, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's kind of weird. We just went strictly on like between bread. We didn't do subs. We didn't do a beef dip or anything like that. We went strictly on essentially sandwiches between bread that you would pretty much make at home. And the clubhouse wins. Our final four was the grilled cheese, the clubhouse, the BLT, and the Montreal smoked meat. So are you a sandwich guy, Adam? Where would you have sandwiches in your power rankings, as it were?
It sounded too like the final two. People just really like bacon. Both of those sandwiches have the distinct taste and addition of bacon to them.
And I'm not mad about it. I love bacon.
Oh gosh, me neither. A sandwich, you can't go wrong. I mean, everything about it is good. You got some nice bread on occasion, or it's just regular bread. You have a litany of toppings that could go any direction. Sandwiches, man, you can't go wrong.
You can't. What? So if you were going to a deli that's making you a fresh sandwich, what would you be ordering? I should also ask you too, as a golf guy, are you a sandwich at the turn type of guy?
Usually hot dog at the turn, if anything. Or I think we talked about this before, like a little ham and cheese or a turkey sandwich at a golf course just kind of hits different after nine holes. But if you're going to a deli, I think you got to go chicken parmesan, which we talked about before, or the classic cold cuts, with the prosciutto and with this, that, the next thing, a little provolone, maybe some oil, some vinegar, some shredded lettuce. Like you just do it up nice at a deli. And for some reason, sandwiches that are made for you just taste differently than when you do them yourself.
Yeah, they sure do. Part of that might be too that you just finished crushing whatever sandwich you had made, and then you look at the kitchen, you're like, I got to clean this mess up now.
Yeah,
it's really just there's a lot more effort into that. You're not wrong. Yeah, exactly. Bread crumbs from your toasted bread everywhere. Disaster. So you're not wrong, and I'm with you. Hot dog at the turn seems to be the way to go for a lot of people. Okay, Adam, let's shift gears a little bit and get back to some real talk. The Travelers Championship is come and gone. And Dustin Johnson atop the leaderboard when it's all said and done, 19 under par. His first win in, 18 months?
Yeah, it's very un-Dustin Johnson-like for him to go this long without actually winning a tournament. And you just kind of think, oh, Dustin Johnson, like he's always, you would think he's always in the mix. And he kind of has been. I mean, he's been in the top five in the world for a number of years now. Certainly he's been number one in the world as well. He's only won the one major championship, but over the last, like you said, 16 to 18 months, he has been struggling a little bit. There's been no real rhyme or reason for his struggle, other than you could say that the competition has gotten that much better. But Dustin Johnson has kind of always done the same thing on the golf course year after year. He hits the ball longer than almost anyone on the planet. He got way, way better with his wedges and putter a couple years ago when he realized that he's so much further ahead than everybody else on the fairway. He might as well get his scoring clubs in order, which he has. You know, this week went out, played pretty well the first two rounds, and then the third round was really when he separated himself, shot 61, moved into contention, and then despite kind of all the weather and the start and the stop and the mishaps on Sunday, bounced back from a couple bogeys, managed to win the tournament. So now Dustin Johnson's won a tournament on the PGA Tour, at least one, every single year since he made it on the PGA Tour to begin with in 2008. Only Tiger Woods and Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus won tournaments in more years in a row than he did. So that's some pretty good company to keep. 21 total PGA Tour victories, if I remember from yesterday. But again, just the one major, all that to say, he's had a pretty good career up to this point. And I think those majors are missing from his trophy case, but if he's basically a threat every time one of those big four tournaments come along on the schedule.
Then you look at the scorecard and an ugly back nine, if you will, for Brendan Todd of the U.S. And you texted me yesterday. You said, keep an eye on Todd. If he wins, it's quite a ridiculous run he's been on. He's made, a third of his money career-wise, he's already made in 2020. Who is Brendan Todd, and where did this guy come from?
It's a great question, because when we were going back and forth, I was like, oh my gosh, Brendan Todd might win three times on tour this season. Then it's like, who? And that's basically the question. I mean, all these guys, all 150 of them that tee it up on the PGA Tour every week certainly has a chance to win. And that's no knock on somebody like Brendan Todd, but you just don't know all that much about him like you do the guys who are in the mix week in, week out, year in, year out. And, you know, like you said, kind of a really tough day yesterday, 9, 10, 11 straight pars, and then, you know, a bunch of bogeys, including the dreaded shank and a triple bogey late on Sunday. But, you know, he has kind of fallen all the way down the golf's very, very deep bottom over the last couple of seasons, you know, struggled mentally, struggled physically, you know, had the shanks, had everything kind of going wrong. And then with golf, individualistic game, you as an individual can kind of climb out of that deep, deep rut, get the breaks kind of going your way again. So he won the Bermuda Championship, which was an opposite field event earlier on in the season, and then won basically either the next week or the week after in Mexico as well. So, you know, when he's been playing well this year, he's been playing well. It's interesting that he's won twice and he's only sixth on the FedEx Cup standings. And I don't even think he was going to jump to number one with a victory this past weekend. So when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he struggled a little bit. But, you know, a guy who's won twice on tour this year against all that stiff competition and had a really good chance up into the back nine on Sunday to win for a third time is certainly not someone to ignore when you see him on the leaderboards anymore. And really interesting that it's in a Ryder Cup year. Well, potentially it might be moved to next year now, but to see somebody like Brendan Todd have a real shot to make that team or make the President's Cup team in years ahead is interesting. But it's also one of those feel-good and unique stories about golf that you don't really get in other sports.
He is Adam Stanley, all things golf, usually every Tuesday in the 9, but today joining us on a Monday. Happy to have him reviewing the Travelers Champion that saw Dustin Johnson win for the first time in 18 months at 19 under par. Another cool story from the weekend. He shot out of the gates Thursday red hot with a 10 under 60. He does finish in third and really just continues his rise. I believe you just tweeted it out. He's inside the top 100 for the first time ever, I think it is. And Mackenzie Hughes had a great weekend, Adam. And that's not only about him, but you got, what, three Canadians inside the top 100 now?
Yeah, and it's fun to do these segments. And almost every week, we're able to talk about a Canadian. And again, this isn't even talking about a Brooke Henderson, who's only played two tournaments so far this year and isn't really going to get back to action until July. And you know that she's going to be champing at the bit to try to win another title or two this summer as well. So to see Mackenzie Hughes kind of come out of the gate, just a magical day on Thursday, shot 60, had a real shot to break that 60 mark, didn't end up doing it, of course, but you know, managed to almost hit a bit of golf's magic number as well, 10 under par right out of the gate, stayed pretty steady. And then, yeah, just kind of has been rewarded for his consistency, although it's a weird way to describe consistency because in between his good results, there was a three-month break because of COVID-19. But, you know, the Honda Classic is a tough, tough tournament to win at a very tough golf course, and he was about runner-up at that event in March. This event, I mean, again, this is the third week in a row that you had all five of the top golfers in the world play. Or at least they were supposed to play on Thursday, 75 of the top 100, something like that. So Mackenzie Hughes is proving that his game, it travels. It can go from time to time in a year. His putting has become super, super solid. Another pro who he plays with out of North Carolina told me that Hughes had a 59 opportunity at a golf course that he plays at home during the break. He ended up chipping a ball in, but because there was a pool noodle in there, the ball actually bounced out. So they didn't count it as a birdie for him to get to 59. But from everything I've been told, Mackenzie Hughes is playing some really good golf right now. He is going to take next week off, but then get back in action for three straight. So again, we talked about this on the program last week. Mackenzie Hughes, he also announced that he's expecting his second child too. So maybe a little bit of extra motivation at home to bag some big bucks over the next little while, but there's certainly no denying no matter what the reason, Mackenzie Hughes is playing some good golf right now, and it's exciting to see.
Now, I mentioned it, three Canadians inside the top 100 of the world golf rankings. I know we're still a ways away as they kicked it down the road earlier on this year because of COVID-19, but what do those rankings, if anything, mean about the race to Tokyo in 2021?
I mean, it's getting real tight because Nick Taylor, he won in February, of course, which seems like so long ago that he did that, but you know, he's right there and another couple of good results once he gets back into action in the next few weeks. We'll probably see him zip into that top 100 mark as well. You know, Mackenzie Hughes, first time that he's ever been inside the top 100. And then we've got Hadlin and Connors kind of going back and forth for Canada's top male golfer. They're right now at 60th and 66th in the world, as per the update from this morning. So what that means right now is that Hadwin and Connors are the guys to go to the Olympics for Canada whenever they may happen. But that's not to say that Hughes and Taylor don't have a shot, and not just an outside shot, but a legitimate shot. Now, I don't predict that Hadwin and Connors are going to play poor golf over the next, you know, 6 to 12 months. But what I am assuming, and based on what we've seen so far this year, is that Mackenzie Hughes and Nick Taylor are probably going to play some good golf. So depending on what the first two guys do, Hadwin and Connors, as it relates to potential wins or just runs of nice play versus when Hughes and Taylor get back into action, it could be something exciting. I mean, Elena Sharp and Brooke Henderson are the only Canadians with full status on the LPGA Tour. So that's essentially a foregone conclusion. But to have four of our guys basically in the top 100 in the world, and all with a legitimate shot, depending on if they play well for a certain amount of time to represent Canada, it'll be a neat little race to watch out for over the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, and I certainly know this to be fact on the men's side, but I would suggest that even on the women's side, with what Brooke has done, this has got to be the greatest era in Canadian golf, no?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the consistency of the guys, I think that we've seen some amazing results. We see consistent wins. We've seen Korn Ferry Tour performance, guys moving up. We've seen Mackenzie Tour performance, guys moving up to the Korn Ferry Tour. We've seen some amateur successes. I think that's a little bit of an open era in terms of Canadians, male golfers. And then on the female side, that's where the inspiration and the interesting journey is going to be over the next 10 years, because Brooke is the winningest Canadian of all time, male or female. Brooke is a threat to win a tournament every single time that she tees it up. We don't really have that on the male side, but what Brooke is also doing away from her on-course prowess is also inspiring a whole generation of young girls who are maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 to play the game and play it at a very high level. So I'm super keen to see what kind of 11 or 12 year old is out there watching Brooke Henderson and thinking, no matter what town she's from, she thinks that she can play golf at a high level too, because of what Brooke did. So yeah, when you think about the collective, the pros, the amateur, the bubble effect of the inspiration of these guys and these girls being from pretty small towns all across Canada, it's a really exciting time to see what, you know, the next two decades or so as it relates to Canadian golf are going to look like.
He is Adam Stanley, all things golf, with us here on the Nine on Sportsnet 960. And last one on the Travelers, then obviously got to get to some real world talk with COVID-19. But I just wanted to run this by you. Not sure if you've seen the clip. It's now gone viral on Twitter. Of course, no fans has led us to a different type of broadcast. And apparently, not sure if you saw, Adam, but Ian Poulter ripping a massive fart that was caught on mic and camera.
I don't know if that will never, like, will not be funny. Like, no matter how old you are, like, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, our parents' age are going to find that funny. Like, younger kids are going to find that funny. Just, it's just always funny. And I think the interesting part about it is that, like, okay, he kind of gave a new name for boom mic there, but you know, if there was ambient noise, I don't know if that would have been picked up as much, but
right.
because there was literally nobody around and he was standing right by the boom mic, it just was absolutely ripped. And I think Greg Chalmers, who he was playing with, in his kind of like quirky, dry Australian accent, asking him to like stay over there, made the clip that much better. I just think everything about it was was all time. It was so funny.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That will never not be funny. I mentioned it. Some real talk to kind of close this hit out today. And the fact is that the PGA Tour, after not having a lot of positive test results in the first couple of weeks, the last, I would say, 8 or 9 days, there has been more than even their, I don't want to say comfortable, but certainly more than they had wanted. A lot of caddies had tested positive. And there's been a lot of talk about their bubble. Adam, how has that changed? How is PGA Tour making adjustments? Because it sounds like it was quite loose. Now they're saying, okay, maybe we do got to tighten things up a little bit here because the protocols before might not have been the one that is going to lead them to great success, as it were.
Yeah, I thought you were going to leave me with Ian Poulter farting, but of course we had to mix in some COVID-19 reaction here. And I think it is warranted because, you know, all the other sports are starting to ramp up. You know, the NHL is starting to do its thing. The NBA obviously is starting to do its thing. And, you know, they had a ton of positive tests last week. And of course, Major League Baseball as well. I think I saw a report that the Jays are coming back to Toronto instead of staying in Florida. And of course, there's a hotel right attached to the Rogers Center. So it makes a lot of sense. On the PGA Tour side of things, they don't have the luxury of staying in one place the whole time. It's a traveling circus. And there are, despite the fact that they wanted to keep it tight, there's people going in and out of their bubble every single week, even if they are PGA Tour staffers. There's volunteers on site that they still need at every tournament. And that group of volunteers is not going to go from Connecticut to Detroit to Texas, et cetera, because they're local people. So you kind of knew that there was going to be leaks in the bubble, for lack of a better word. I think the testing that they've done up to this point proved that it was okay. They've certainly ramped up the testing now. I think the guys who are actually playing in the tournament and anybody who wants access to the clubhouse will be given that nasal swab test every single day. I don't believe that caddies are now allowed on the practice green either. The practice greens have been kind of a point of contention because they are so tight when half the field is getting ready at the same time. So they're starting to reduce the numbers. But then you look at who can come outside the bubble and then go back in. The caddies are kind of, you know, they kind of march to the beat of their own drum sometimes in terms of scheduling. So, you know, that I think that's up to the players to say, hey, listen, we got to take this way more seriously. Just come with me. Just stay in my room. Just whatever. Because those variables, we can't have them. So still a small positive test number. I think it's only been 4 actual players who have tested positive out of the 3,000 tests that they perform. But it's a lot because you think about all the touch points and et cetera, and it's concerning. But I think the tour, from everything that the guys on the tour have said, both on the record and off, they've done the right things up to this point, and now it's about management, and hopefully – they can keep containing it and keep going with this schedule because it is nice to have live sports back.
It sure is. And I guess finally, you mentioned it earlier on in this interview. Are you expecting any sort of Ryder Cup announcement this week?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is that the PGA of America made their announcement a couple of days ago about no fans at the PGA Championship, which is the first major of the year happening in August. But the Ryder Cup, it seems like, is going to be postponed by 1 year. There was a report from a English newspaper that said as such, and Nick Faldo on the broadcast yesterday seemed to let it slip ever so slightly. He seemed to believe that was going to be happening and an announcement was going to come this week. So based on all of those factors and number one player on the U.S., Brooks Koepka, and number one player on the European side, Rory McIlroy, both said they don't want to play if it's not in front of fans. All those things, I think, are adding up to a postponement by a year. And I would look for that announcement in the next day or so.
Adam, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you jumping on and happy to accommodate your scheduling this week. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, man.